Time for Message in the Bottle. Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company joins us. Hello, Eric.
C'est moi. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Whatever. Mazel tov. That's amazing. And also, I feel like I was also a guest on one of your monumental shows. Maybe it's the 1,000th or something like that. I'm not really sure.
You but, were? Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, well, there you go. I've just like your previous guest, we've all been... You have some way of wrangling us and just keeping us in line. Well done.
Thank you. We appreciate it and always appreciate having you and your wisdom, your knowledge here to enlighten us.
I just miss the days of dashing into Caesar's restaurant and all of these young bucks like, hello, sir, can I get you a... No time. Let's get on the radio. Oh, they were so confused. But anyway, well, I hope everybody out there is well and had a good Labor Day. And drank plenty of rosé, because I think, you know me, I drink rosé year-round, but I think summer's on its way out, folks.
You can feel that this morning.
Oh, baby. Yeah, well, actually, it's funny. You know, those of us with canine, I think are the first, we're like the canaries in the coal mines. When we're out there on those early morning walks, you're like, it's coming. And I felt it like 2 weeks ago. Like, and I love to cook. Therefore, I love excuses to sit over, you know, pots all day or you know, anything that requires a lot of thought and savory flavors at the end of it. But frankly, it means that the children are back in the house. As anybody who's listening to this program can probably realize in the background right now with my children and other people's children screaming. So, yeah. That said, we're heading into a time, and it's a good segue. We're going to talk about Italy this month, and we're going to be talking about Piedmont today. And the wines of Piedmont are absolutely appropriate for these sort of dusky fall days. And so let's chat a little bit about it. Piedmont, for those of you who are sort of searching your brain's maps for it, is the region just as you enter Italy, the sort of the top of the little mushroom there, France. It's where Turin is, if anybody's a fan of the Olympics, of course, you know, and that gives you a good idea. Piedmont itself means foothills. So Turin, as anybody can remember, was sort of at the very edge of the Alps, going up into the Val d'Aosta, which is actually where some of the highest elevation vineyards in the world are. But the bulk of what Piedmont is known for is obviously sort of more centralized Piedmont in the foothills themselves, and we'll talk about those. But what makes Piedmont kind of interesting and why we talk about France, or why I talk about France first and how it's sort of the entryway from France, and indeed, you know, you sort of picture where Nice is, and like so many of our famous wine regions, there's mountains and then there's just like a little path into the country. And indeed, if you go east from Nice, you will eventually get into Piedmont. And there's a huge flow of mercantilism, of thought, of all sorts of things that flowed through there. And in the 1960s, Piedmont sort of answered France's appellation system with its own DOC and DOCG. And briefly, that's denominazione di origine controllata, and then the G is e garantita, and that's the higher level, right? So if you see DOC or DOCG, which is a lot of the wines that you'll see shipped to this country, and just as a general rule, you won't see the like lowest level wines ever exported, really. Unless there's some particular reason. But it's the area, and if you look at a broken down wine map of Piedmont, it's very much like looking at a map of Burgundy or something like that. It is broken down into parcels and then micro parcels. And is that good? It's certainly much more complex and complicated than a lot of the other Italian wine regions that we will be talking about over the next couple of weeks. The big grapes there, obviously the king red grape and the one that occupies most of the plots that are the most expensive is the grape Nebbiolo. Nebbiolo, most famously made into wines called Barolo and Barbaresco, and those are towns around which those grapes are grown. Of course, you have Barbera, you have Dolcetto. These are the two other red grapes of probably more note, but you also have things like Grignolino, Freesia, and then you do have some Pinot Noir being grown in some of the cooler regions as well, which is called Pinot Nero there. But these are the big red grapes. Nebbiolo is in itself, like Pinot Noir is in Burgundy and other places, tough to get your head around sometimes. It's one of those that I think leads to, you know, people drinking an expensive bottle of wine and, quote, not getting it. So if you find yourself faced with a bottle of something that says either Nebbiolo or it does have one of these appellations, either Barbaresco, Barolo, but you also do have wine regions to the north that specialize in Nebbiolo that are not as well known, Bocca, Gattinara, Gemme. Be prepared for an experience that will be wonderful, but perhaps not super fruit driven, especially Nebbiolo is not a super fruity grape. If you want super fruity from the region of Piedmont, you hit your Barberas, your Dolcettos, your things like this. Nebbiolo has a lot of aromas of like damp earth. This is also the region that is probably most famed for truffles, right? The famous fungus that grows, you know, underground in certain oaks, and they use, you know, pigs and dogs to root them out. These are wines that complement that, and those certain things are not particularly complemented by uber fruity wines. Nebbiolo is a little more esoteric that way. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's lofty, but it is also hard to get your head around. So don't be overly disappointed if you're not like, wow, this is the most amazing thing I've ever had. It doesn't grab everybody by the nose and say yes. So the other grapes I was mentioning, by the way, Dolcetto, Barbera especially, these are wines that do thrive, and in some certain towns, for instance, the town of Asti, Barbera is given, and Dolcetto are both given a little bit more elbow room on the better slopes, and so you do have sort of better, more structured wines from there. Of course, you have white wines in this area. We shouldn't forget those. The most noble, I guess, would be the wine made out of the grape Cortese called Gavi, right? G-A-V-I. A lot of people have known Gavi or Gavi de Gavi. But Gavi is made out of the Cortese grape and is a very, very beautiful, noble grape, sort of along the lines of a fine white Burgundy, but with a little bit more high-toned acid. And then you have the grape Arnais, which was falling into extinction, but was brought back by several notable families that also do Barolos and wines in that region, and is, again, a fabulous sort of medium-bodied wine that can go with an awful lot of stuff that you're probably going to be cooking around this time of year. So Arnais and the grape Cortese in the form specifically of Gavi, but in other regions as well. But we have examples of both that are absolutely worth checking out in the state of Maine, so do that. We also love our sweet wines here in Maine and in the U.S. So Moscato is the famous frothy, sweet white wine, and Brachetto, B-R-A-C-H-E-T-T-O, Brachetto, is the frothy red cousin, if you will, to that. These are both wonderful lower alcohol sweet wines that people just absolutely adore. So do, you know, be on the lookout for those. They're not necessarily table wine material. It's nothing that you'd particularly want to drink through the course of a meal. Maybe you would. I mean, some people really like sweet wines. But they're wonderful if you're doing something, a little harvest dessert or something like that. It's just a wonderful way to sort of touch that off. So these are the basics of the Piedmont region. There's a lot more out there because, of course, it's super hyper broken down, like I was telling you. But the wines are almost to a T. They're wonderful across the board. Everybody there really sort of tends to adhere to a certain ethos. And around the edges, there's a lot of young winemakers that are making really crazy wines from this region as well, if you're into those sort of hyper-modern wines. So it's really anything your heart desires in a little package. I'm sure I'm out of time or running close to, but I'll again say, Rich, happy anniversary. It's tremendous. You keep doing this, and every week your guests, not counting myself, of course, but I mean, you just keep you keep getting the best. So please continue, and congratulations.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your many years of brightening our Tuesdays.
Absolutely. I'd gladly do it, but someday, would you please take these chains off me so I could at least walk around?
Well, if you'd bring more wine, we'd consider that.
Fair enough. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Message in the Bottle every week on Downtown. All of Eric's segments loaded right up on the website. Just click on the Message in the Bottle tab, and they're right there for you.